Good morning. We're glad to have you with us today. As you see in your bulletin, we have the Johnsons with us. And
I guess the rapture happened.
Yeah, half of them have been raptured. The sinner's still in the seat of the angry God here. But we're glad to have you folks, and you'll meet the rest of them as they return back. But we're glad to have you. As you see in our bulletin, we have a quarterly business meeting scheduled for this evening, and then communion next week and choir next week. So we're glad to have you with us, and we trust today will be a blessing.
Well, the herrings are gone, so Chris isn't here to lead the singing, so I will today. Turn to number 402. 402, Missions Evangelism Song by Chris Anderson. 402, For the Sake of His Name. Let's stand together as we sing.
Oh,
Brother Doug Maddox, would you lead us in prayer this morning?
Gracious our Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're so thankful for the week that you've given us, Lord. We're so thankful for your Son, Jesus, that died on the cross for our sins, Lord. We know it is by grace, not anything that we've done, and Lord, we know that we're so undeserving. Lord, we're so thankful for everything you've given us. We're thankful for the missionary that's here. We're thankful for the guests that you've had here, Lord. I pray that you'll be with those that are traveling and those that cannot be here today. I pray that you'll, with those that are sick, that you'll bring them back to us safely for those that are traveling, Lord. I pray that you watch over us this week, God, and indirect us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Be seated. Turn to number 312, singing a song about going to the lost for the sake of his name. We're going to talk about, sing about lifting up the cross now. Number 312. I'll get there in a second. Lift high the cross. Now number 283, another song, Lift Up the Cross. It's just a simple chorus, and maybe I should apologize. We don't know any of these songs real well today, but number 283, let's stand together as we sing. We'll sing through it twice. We'll have the offering after this.
The cross, lift up the cross, till every eye will see the Lamb of Calvary. Lift up the cross, lift up the cross. They drop the Son of God who died, take up his cross and lift it high, till every eye will see the Lord. Lift up the cross.
Brother Spottle, would you return thanks for the offering, please?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege just to be in your house this morning, worship you. Lord, I just pray that you would lift this service up, lift up each and every one in here. I pray for those who couldn't be here, those that are sick. Lord, I think of Jim Tilson, Susan Davidson. Lord, I just pray that you would lift them up particularly, and others as well. I pray that you would bless this service and be honor and glory to you, Lord. And we're thankful for the missionaries who could be here this morning. And I pray for our military, police force, the folks that keep us safe, Lord, day in, day out. I ask that you would bless this offering, both the gift and the giver of your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pleasure to have visiting with us today, Eric and Holly Johnson and their family. Eric's going to come in just a minute, it's a real joy. Angela Stewart's laid up with sciatica. She's disappointed because she knew Holly in school. Angela was a year ahead of her in school out here at Athens Christian, and she's not able to be here, and she's real disappointed not to get to see you today. But one of those small world things we're talking about, Sunday school, actually, Eric grew up in Herndon, Virginia, which is the neighboring town to where I graduated from high school in Fairfax. And then he grew up under the ministry of a youth pastor and music director whose wife was a church pianist, Joe and Peggy Mims. And Joe was a good friend of mine in college. I was a year ahead of him in the music program at Pensacola. And his wife, Peggy, was my pianist for my 3 years of voice lessons while I was getting my degree in vocal performance there. So anyway, it's just one of those small world things. And then Joe and Peggy went from Herndon to Lafayette, Indiana, which is where I was born. And they ministered there for a few years. And now they're in North Georgia, somewhere up near the Tennessee border. I've got to find out where they are. Apparently, they moved down there to be close to some of their kids. But anyway, one of those small world things. But we're really, really glad that they're able to be here with us today. And he'll be coming in a few minutes to tell us a little about what's going on in their work there in the Dominican Republic, and may prevail on his wife to share a few words. I kind of threw that out there at her just before we came up here to start today. But before they come, Sherry's going to come, and we're going to sing. This is a song that, honestly, we're going to be singing to a recorded accompaniment, which we don't do very often. And we're only doing it today because we thought Debbie wasn't going to be here today when we started working on this. So we're going to go ahead and do it instead of throwing it at her and say, here, play this for us. But it's another song about the greatness of God, Almighty, Unchangeable God.
Just be rules and Well, good morning. What a wonderful song to remind us about our God. And I just love a place that centers on Jesus and centers on our God and lifts Him high in a sacred way. And in fact, Pastor, it's kind of funny to think about that song. I think one of the last times I heard it sung in church was Joe and Peggy singing it at our church, which happens to be Temple Baptist Church in Herndon, Virginia. Well, thank you for this opportunity to be here. We're the Johnsons, my dear wife Holly's pastor mentioned. There are four children here. Ashley, you raise your hand. Ashley, she was actually born here in Athens. She's our little Georgia peach, and she's 13 years old. Then we have Zach, raise your hand. He's 11 years old. And then Tyler, who's 9, and our little baby Lauren, who's 7. The younger three were actually born in the Dominican Republic. They're our little Dominican Americans. And so we're so glad to be here. I think it's been almost three and a half years since the last time we were here, but wonderful pleasure to be back and just tell you what the Lord's been doing since the last time we were here. For those of you who don't know, we arrived on the field in 2009, so we've gone over 12 years in the Dominican. It's gone by very, very quickly. In August, with just a few weeks, we'll celebrate the 12th year of the church. We started that first year we were there. The Lord has blessed greatly in that time. And just recently, in the last couple of years, we've had the great privilege of sending out two different families from our church to start churches in our community. One in the north side of the city, which our city, San Francisco de Macorís, is a very large city, about almost 200,000 people. And then last year, about a year and a half ago, we sent another family from our church to the south side of the city to start another church. Now, it's interesting, our church, we have three churches we've helped start. The one, ours, is kind of in the middle of the city, of a kind of a middle class, upper middle class area. And a lot of people drive to church and come just like kind of your church here. The second church we helped start is in a very urban setting, very dense, a lot of people around it. And that's where a young man, Ari Amparo, and his wife, Franceli, started a church. And that's doing very well. And then just recently, in the last year and a half, Pastor Elias and his wife, Rosa, started a church in the south side. And that's like living in the country. That's like where the hillbillies are, all right? And so all three churches have a very interesting dynamic, and yet the Lord's blessing in such a great way. And we're very thankful to see, you know, back in March 2020, the world kind of changed a little bit. And if you've kept in touch with your missionaries, each country has responded in a different way to the COVID situation. And in the beginning, our country didn't allow us to have church for about 3 months. And that was very difficult. We had to be very creative. And praise the Lord, we were able to have churches, church services online, though we know that was not what we wanted. And we do praise the Lord, in June of 2020, we were able to open the doors again and continue our ministry there. And it was so exciting as we opened the doors, not only to see everyone come back, but really to see kind of a new spiritual reawakening happening in our area. I think maybe many people were just considering their life and considering what their end would be. And maybe because they grew up in a religious society, they thought they knew a lot about God. But as those difficult days for some of them came, they wanted to have more answers. And so we have been blessed in the last year and a half since we reopened our doors to see more visitors come and more people trust in Christ and more people be baptized and follow Him. And that has been exciting for us, that maybe something that we would look at in some ways as being a deterrent or something difficult, the Lord has allowed through His power to change lives and to be a blessing in disguise. And so the last year, we've just been busier than ever. Abilities to just get into people's homes. We've seen young people coming to the Lord basically like never before. And one of the reasons is they have still yet to open the schools there. And the young people, I think, really miss seeing each other. And so one of the places you can go see young people is at church. And I praise the Lord for that, that He's allowed so many of them come to get saved and now discipling. And so it's been an exciting time for us. We're looking forward to getting back. August 6th, we'll head back to the Dominican Republic and get an opportunity to celebrate our 12th year anniversary with the church. I thank the Lord for churches like yours that have partnered with us for so many years so that we can continue to tell others about Christ. I grew up, as Pastor mentioned, in Virginia. I want to correct it just slightly. I went to Virginia when I was a little bit more of a younger man. I actually grew up in West Virginia as a youngster. And so between... All right. Amen. Amen for West Virginia. Now, if everybody from West Virginia that I've ever met had stayed in West Virginia, we'd be one of the biggest states in the Union. But nobody stays, okay? And so... Everybody left. But between West Virginia and Virginia, I spent my time. But my wife, she grew up right on the corner in Jefferson, and I went to ACS. And I wanted her to get a chance to come up and just for a minute tell maybe the lady's perspective. My wife is an amazing helper in the work, and I couldn't do anything there without her help. And I'm going to let her just kind of give you a perspective of what life is like in the Dominican from the wife's side. And Mom.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see so many familiar faces, especially from my days at ACS. And we're very thankful for your church here who's stayed faithful and for your pastor and for those who have continued to support us and pray for us. Before I get into what he said I was going to say, I just have to say thank you, Pastor, for that song and your wife. We serve an almighty, unchangeable God. And we're so thankful for that. When things change in our lives and we go through things like we faced in the last year and a half, you know, it's such a reassuring comfort to know that God doesn't change. He doesn't change. And He is almighty. That song's very special to me. I hope you can hear me. Sorry for all this. I counseled at the Wilds, and that was our theme song one summer. And so, you know, floods of memories and God's faithfulness just comes rushing back. And for the future, the days ahead, and how God is always with us. And, yeah, no matter what difficulty or trial, we're thankful for that. Now on to my Dominican part. That was my sermonette. Let's see. Thank you for your faithfulness here also. Since we saw you last, our kids are growing, obviously. My life as a mom and a missionary wife and a pastor's wife is maybe much like you would imagine here in the States in many ways. I'm very involved with the kids, with the ladies' ministries. You know, when there's needs in the church, we find people to fill them, or we fill them in the necessities. And I love being part of the ministry. I love spending time with the ladies. During the COVID stuff, we started doing Zoom meetings weekly with the ladies, and that was a blessing to have Bible studies when we couldn't meet together personally, because we always have done ladies meetings in some fashion, but it was nice to be able to have that opportunity too. And our kids at homeschool, their life didn't change tremendously as the world, much of the world became homeschoolers last year. So they were in the in crowd. finally, they weren't, you know, different. They were the leaders of the homeschool worldwide problem or whatever you want to call it. So we have just gone forward with schooling, and their lives have continued, and we've enjoyed our life there. We had time during last year to spend more time as a family, maybe than other years, because we had fewer church activities outside, you know, and so of the home, and so that was a blessing for us as well. What else? I think that was about all I was going to say. Thank you so much for having us this morning and for your continued prayers.
One of the realities of coming home and looking in the mirror and seeing how much older I'm getting, my wife's not, but I'm getting older, is that unfortunately those around us, our loved ones, also get older. And so sometimes you come home, there's the realities of aging. And you pray for us as we transition back to the Dominican, that we would just have confidence in the Lord and what He has, even for our loved ones back home here. So that's just a prayer request from us. I wanted to tell you before I open the Word of God today a little bit about the Dominican in a very brief way, maybe some things you didn't know that might give you just a little bit of an idea of where we serve. The Dominican Republic is on the island of Hispaniola. There are two nations. Who knows what the nation is on the western side of Hispaniola? The Dominican's on the east, and there's another nation we share. Who knows that? Haiti, that's right. Interesting enough, on that island, they speak two different languages. In Haiti, they speak Creole, which is a form of French. And on our side, they speak Spanish. Well, they kind of speak Spanish. They have their Dominican version of Spanish. And if you knew Spanish and went to Dominican, you probably have to work real hard. Sometimes they change a lot of words. There's a couple funny words they've just made up themselves. There's a word, it sounds kind of fun to say, guagua. You ever heard that word, guagua? That's just like a little taxi van. But we see guaguas and another word they've made up themselves. And in Spanish, you say, I only want a little bit. Who knows the word for a little tiny bit? Who knows the word? Un poco, right? Well, in Dominican, they don't say un poco. They've invented their own word. They call it un chin. Un chin, a little bit. Un chin, together, they're a chon. But that's Dominican Spanish, and they make up words. But it's fun to be there, to learn and new words they've invented themselves. They're very diverse people, very beautiful people, generally very, very receptive to those who want to talk about the Lord and things of the Lord. And they really enjoy getting to know Americans. There's a lot of places in the world we could go where they would not necessarily love having Americans. But the Dominicans really do love Americans, love having American friends. And that makes it very easy to share the gospel there. And we're very thankful for that. Those of you who know much about baseball know that it's a passion for the Dominicans. Many of the greatest baseball players from past and present I've lived on, or from the Dominican Republic, who've played in the major leagues, and that's something that's a keen interest to them. They have amazing food, and as you can see, I've enjoyed it for many, many years in the Dominican Republic. Now, you have to understand, when I was younger, I didn't particularly like rice and beans. It's probably because I was just eating Uncle Ben's rice. You know, I didn't know anything about rice, but boy, Dominicans really can make wonderful rice and beans and fried foods. And anybody from the South would sure enjoy being down there. And at Christmas time, one of the things they really love is getting a big hog and roasting it over a pit for 24 hours. That's one of their specialties at Christmas time. I probably shouldn't be talking about food so early in the message tonight, today. But they really do enjoy good food there. And we enjoy learning the cultural foods there. And, of course, the fruit, mangoes and pineapples. It's a wonderful place to try food. The country itself, if you've ever seen pictures from the Dominican, is very beautiful. They're known for their gorgeous beaches and their rivers and their waterfalls. And they have great, pure, natural beauty there. But for those who understand this, there's also a lot of unfortunate things behind the scenes in many tourist towns where many are enslaved and trafficked. And pray for those who work against those things, those people who would enslave people and those awful trades and traffic them around the world. That's an unfortunate thing that is actually present. And pray for that sin, that the Lord would help. There are missionaries who are helping combat that and fight that, especially in many tourist towns. This is something you might find interesting. Speed limits are kind of merely a suggestion in the Dominican Republic. They do have speed limits, but as there are no police officers in cars to chase you down or do a radar gun, there have never been speeding tickets as far as I know. There are other traffic violations when you're in city, but as far as speeding tickets, I've never seen anyone pulled over for a speeding ticket. But that being said, because of that, it can be very dangerous to drive in the Dominican Republic. And so those on their motorcycles, which there are literally hundreds of thousands, they need to put on helmets. Or if you're in your car, you better make sure you buckle up. And maybe if you're in your car, you should also put on a helmet, because it's very dangerous, you know, just to drive there. But it's a very interesting way to drive, because things are coming from all different directions. But it is you can get to point A to point B pretty fast sometimes. It's a very hot climate. And if you want to know what the Dominican Republic summer is like, just go outside this week. That's what it's like. Here in Georgia this week, we've had a pretty hot week. That's what it's like a majority of the year. But a very beautiful place to live. They're wonderful and loyal friends. They're very excitable, very loud. If you've been around my kids, sometimes they can get loud. That's what they've learned from being with the Dominicans. Not obnoxious, just very loud. And sometimes you might even think they're arguing and yelling at each other. No, they're just having a good chat. That's just Dominicans are very alive and love expressing their points. And we love them for that. They're a very proud country, or proud in the sense for their heritage, proud of their patriotism and where they've come from. They're proud of their freedom. And I'm very thankful to say for many, many years now, they have stood up to many of the cultural agendas of the world that have tried to feed in South America and around the world, especially in the area of abortion and the homosexual agenda. Thankfully, the Dominican Republic, which is primarily a very religious society, has stood up and decided to follow God's plan for the for marriage and for the sanctity of life. And I'm thankful for many, many wonderful Dominican pastors who stood up in the society, and the society has still continued to this day to follow them. That may not be the case in the future, but it is now. And I'm very proud to live in a country where they still follow those ideals and those in God's plan. And lastly, as I mentioned, they're very religious culture, but the vast majority of them do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So the need for missionaries is still great. The need for national pastors is still great. So even though in many sectors of the Dominican there are good, thriving churches, so many cities still yet to have one good gospel-preaching church. The city we serve in, San Francisco de Macorís, we arrived, as I mentioned, 12 years ago. And to my knowledge, other than the churches we've started, I can think of two churches that would clearly present the gospel. Now think of that. In total, five churches reaching 200,000 people. And there are many other cities, you know, 50,000, 75,000, that have, as far as we know, no gospel preaching churches. And so that's our little area of the island. That's where we are. Keep praying for us, praying for those men to be raised up in our church, those families to be sent out so people can know about Jesus Christ. And I thank you for your part in our ministry so that we can go and tell them about Jesus Christ. This morning, if you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to continue that theme. And one of the most familiar passages, if you study the book of Romans, we're going to be in verses 13 through 15. And we're going to be talking about something, about the logic of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And before I start this morning, I want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach. Your pastor, if you've been here any length of time, understand his vast knowledge for the Word of God and his ability to convey that knowledge. It's one thing to know the Word of God, the other is the ability to convey it and express it. And your church and your pastor are much like a hidden gem here. The teaching you get, I've listened to many of your sermons over the years, Pastor, and I count it a great privilege. I know he wouldn't allow just anybody to be in the pulpit. And we pray that this morning, this word of God that is preached will affect your heart. I was listening recently to some of the messages on Sunday night. If you want to grow in your faith and you want to have a clear understanding of what you believe and be able to defend it and explain it to those who want to know the hope that is in you, be here Sunday night. Pastor is going through a tremendous series, understanding the veracity of the Bible and what we believe and why Christianity is different. Those are really important things. It's one thing just to come hear a message that tickles your ears. It's another to understand why you believe what you believe. And we're going to deal with one of those topics today in the area of world evangelism. But before that, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the music this morning, Lord, that has prepared our hearts. Lord, I pray for this message, and through your Holy Spirit, please, Lord, work through me and work through your word. Most importantly, Lord, that we would understand our place in your will, Lord, when it comes to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, allowing it to be reached in the uttermost part of the earth, Lord. Lord, I pray you would help us, Lord, know each day what we're to do for you, and that you would get the glory in all that we do. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you notice in your copy of God's Word this morning, I'm going to read these three verses, very familiar verses, starting in verse 13. And I'm in Acts 2, so that's not going to work. Amen. Romans is where we're at today. Romans chapter 10. Very familiar verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, say it with me together, saved. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For those who don't know me, I had the great privilege of growing up in a Christian home. And due to the diligence of my parents at a young age, I received Christ through their teaching and bringing me also and taking me to a gospel preaching church. I heard the gospel and received it at a young age. I'm very thankful for that. And the older I get, the more I realize that access I had to the gospel for my life was a unique and a very special privilege. And if you had the opportunity to grow up in a Christian home where the Word of God was preached, and you went to a church where it was preached, understand that was a great honor, a great privilege God gave you. You know, growing up, I didn't think about that much. I didn't think about how blessed I was to live in a home where they taught the Word of God, and how much of the world never had access to God's Word or a place that preached God's Word. However, in my life, that changed in 2001 when I had the great opportunity to go on a missions trip with my church to India. In fact, Brother Joe Mims led that trip. And my mind was changed forever. As I mentioned, living in Virginia, but also growing up as a young man in West Virginia, the first time I ever went overseas, having lived in West Virginia most of my life, was this trip. Now, you have to understand, West Virginia and India, completely different. In fact, the only commonality was that there were a lot of people walking around without shoes on, all right? So that was the only similarity. Everything else was different. And I remember on that trip and coming home from that trip, thinking about that verse in Lamentations that says, "Mine eye affecteth what?" Who knows? Remember, my heart. And my heart was truly affected during that trip. And it wasn't just affected because I saw for the first time extreme poverty. And there was much in very extreme poverty. And it wasn't that my eye was affected just because of the experiences we had helping these people. And it was affected by that. But I think my heart was mostly affected because during that trip I saw an oppressive religion. I saw spiritual darkness for the first time. And it seemed like there was no light. There was no access to God's Word. And so, for the first time in my life, when I came home and I started reading my Bible again, it was like Romans 10 actually came alive to me. I understood what Paul was trying to say in a different way because of the experience I had had and how my eyes had been affected. And so, with that in mind, let us take this passage this morning, have our eyes wide open. And not to try to think about how maybe we grew up here in the Bible Belt, but think about those who've never understood or heard even the name of Jesus Christ, let alone sat under preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And allow this to penetrate our hearts as we consider Paul's questions and how logical they are that we as believers in Jesus Christ would be about preaching His gospel to the uttermost. Now, as a little bit of a background, I won't spend a lot of time, but as we get to Romans 10 here, we see the Jews, Paul's writing to the church in Rome, but he's also always, when he goes into a new city, he first starts where? In the synagogue, trying to reach the Jews. And if anybody understood the Jews, it was Paul. Paul being a Jew himself, but also a Roman. And he would try to explain to them the ministry of Jesus Christ, but it was so difficult for the Jews. It was so difficult for them to see a salvation that also included the Gentiles. It was so difficult for them. And even though Paul understood their teachings, understood their ways and their traditions, and tried to make those comparisons often, it would fall flat there in the synagogue. And Paul would then, as we see in the ministry, even before Paul in Acts 8, we see how as it started there in Jerusalem, it eventually started going out to Samaria, and eventually to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, let me ask you this. How glad are you today that it reached the uttermost part of the earth? Amen? That's who we are, right? We're the uttermost. And I praise the Lord that those missionaries continue, those apostles and disciples continue to go forth. And Paul here specifically trying to explain the ministry and the logic that we have as believers to go forth and tell others this good news. So when the message of salvation in the New Testament that the apostles, starting in Acts chapter 8, start extending to the new world, the Gentile world, we see the problem that Paul faced in his ministry. The problem of trying to explain whether it be Jew or Gentile, the ministry of Jesus Christ, is the same problem we have today. And whether it's someone who grew up in a place like India or the Dominican Republic or China, under different religious systems and in darkness, or whether it be someone who grew up right in the middle of the Bible Belt that just simply has a hardened heart, the need is still the same. They still need to hear the wondrous message of Jesus Christ. They need to hear us as believers, as we sang this morning, lifting up the message of the cross. As Pastor was mentioning in his Sunday school this morning about explaining them that their value is not in themselves, their value is in their God who sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. And we have value because God loved us so much in that way. That's the message the world needs to hear today. And Paul, wonderfully here, gives us four logical questions. And it's actually, it's in an inverse order. And through these four questions, very briefly this morning, we're going to see three aspects concerning just the logicalness of us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who've never heard. Now, before we get into these questions, I just want to put a parenthesis and make sure we don't skip over maybe the most important verse we read this morning, and that is verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God has come to save men. And he tells us in verse 11, and verse 12, and verse 13 in different ways, whosoever, all that call, whosoever shall call. Now, verse 9, we see God's wonderful sovereignty, and that He is absolute, and He rules. And yet, at the same time, we see how He calls us to call on Him, to seek after Him. I praise the Lord that the family of God is not an exclusive club that only is for the rich, or is only for the educated. Whosoever shall call. That is a joy for us to go to all ends of the earth and tell them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, now I'm a pastor, I know that normally in our churches, the vast majority who attend are believers in Jesus Christ. But I also am thinking about a gentleman who has attended our church now, I think for about 4 or 5 years, who is not believer. He comes every Sunday. He's very faithful at church. We've talked to him many times. He knows he's not saved, and he knows that that's a dangerous thing if he understands the Scriptures. And so if there's someone here today who has yet to place their trust in Christ, I have good news for you. There are many people here today at the conclusion of this service who would love nothing more than to open God's Word and clearly show you how you can place your faith in Christ and call on Him and be eternally saved. But with that in mind, us understanding that, let's go to Paul's first question here. As we see the first aspect in these two verses, we're going to mostly focus in on verse 14 and 15. We see the logical need for the gospel. Romans 14, Paul starts with some questions. He says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So Paul gives us this very logical chain that makes complete sense to anybody who can understand that only those that call on His name can be saved. Those who know who the Lord is and understand what salvation is, those are the ones that can be saved. Those who call on Him in belief to be saved. But see, if that's true, then the opposite is also true, which is that none can be saved that don't call. And none can call unless they believe, right? Well, no one can believe if they haven't heard. Well, how is someone going to hear unless someone tells them? And no one can tell them if they haven't been sent. So Paul gives us a very easy to understand, but important and very profound chain of questioning that we should consider this morning. Starting with that verse 14, that very first question. Notice with me, how then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? What is believe? What do we mean in a biblical context? I believe is a wonderful New Testament word. And I think it's something we can basically quickly understand that it's our faith, our confidence, our hope that is placed in Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross and His resurrection. Many religions around the world love to lift up Christ and talk about Christ, but they will often add. Our belief is in what Jesus Christ did, nothing more and nothing less. To believe in what He did, because we were born sinners on our way to hell. And the only way that we can get to heaven is through what Jesus did for us on the cross and through His resurrection. I love what it says in John 3:36. Notice this, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Who can say amen to that this morning? Amen? But the verse doesn't end there. And it says, He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What it's saying here in the book of John is that to have everlasting life, we must believe. We must believe. We must place our faith and trust in what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. As we sang this morning, lifting up the cross. But it also gives us the other side of the coin there. Those who have not believed, those who have not placed their faith and trust in Christ. It says, this is not a future judgment. It says, right now, the wrath of God abides upon them. Now think about that. Think about that in context of your neighbor that you care about and have known for a long time. A family member, a co-worker, a friend. who has yet to place their trust in Christ. Sometimes we can think, well, you know, hopefully one day they'll do that. And we do pray to that end. But understand this, their judgment is not future, their judgment is present. Having not placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides on them now. And if their life were to end, they would not spend eternity with Him, but rather in hell. That's why Paul is drawing to our conscience the importance that to call on the Lord, they must believe. They must believe. And then he continues to the next line of questioning in this inverse order. Notice the second question in verse 14. And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? Now we're getting into some tougher questions. Now we're getting into some questions that the believer must take into account for their personal responsibility. You know, when I was in Bible college, I had a loved one who was unsaved, who would often say this to me or ask me a question in this way. She would say, why are you going to that island to preach to those people when so many people here have yet to hear the gospel? Now, I know what she was trying to say, and there's certainly some truth to that. Having spent some time as a young man, young adult in Northern Virginia, that was an area where every day it seemed like there was new neighbors coming into my neighborhood from all parts of the world. And I was certain they had never heard about Jesus Christ and heard anything about the Word of God. And certainly there are people who grew up in these generations through the school systems and everything. They're never hearing anything about the Lord. And we know that's true. But if you just take a few minutes and take a look at the world and take a look at the facts and the truth, you would understand a vast majority of the world never once hears about Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to spend all morning giving you statistics, but I will give you a couple just to draw this point to our minds. There are over 7,000 known languages in the world today. 7,000. How many do you think out of those 7,000 known languages have a complete copy of God's Word? I looked this up recently. Only 704. That's 10% of the world's languages have a complete copy of God's Word. Aren't we blessed to live in one of those countries that has a complete copy of God's Word? I know I'm thankful that I serve in a country where we have a complete copy of God's Word translated. You know, on the other side of the island in Haiti, they do have a few versions that have been translated, but from what I'm told from my friends who understand it, it's very difficult to get a very accurate translation. It's very difficult to even get those in print. We've looked for years to get really good ones, and they're not easy to find. We are blessed to live in a country where for how many hundreds of years we've had God's Word in our hands. In fact, another statistic, of that 7,000 known languages, more than 4,000, listen to this, 4,000 of those languages do not even have one verse translated. They don't even have John 3:16. And so if that's the case, we have a great need, don't we? We see how logical it is for us to desire to make sure that these people have the Word of God and they hear about it. Paul continues. Notice this in verse 14, the last question he has. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now we're getting to the crux of the problem. Now we're getting to the real issue at hand. They can't call if they haven't really truly believed, but they can't believe if they haven't heard. But how are they going to hear unless someone tells them? You know who understood this problem better than anyone? Jesus. In Matthew 9, Jesus says very clearly, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, they're few. And then Jesus gives us a prayer request. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Can you see the great need there is today? I don't believe that God's calling less people to be missionaries, less people to be preachers than he did before. It has to do with our response to Him, His call, His leading, seeing the need and fulfilling that great commission. Whether it's on the other side of the world, in India, or in a small island like the Dominican Republic, or right here in Athens. As we understand, the need is still great. Do you see the logical need that we have? I thank the Lord for churches like you that not only have been faithful in your support, but I praise the Lord in the last few years, you've raised your support. That's even a greater encouragement. As prices around the world go up, we pay close to $6 a gallon for gas. You complain about $3, always think of the missionaries in Dominican pay $6. You know, and it costs money to serve the Lord, to pay the gas, to pay the lights, to buy Bibles, to send, to get tracts. I praise the Lord for churches like you that understand the need to not only pray for your missionaries, but to send them support so they can stay there telling others about the Lord. Now, that's the need. That's the logical need we can see. But then Paul, in verse 15, kind of transitions to the reality, the practical reality. And this is his last question he has in these four questions. He says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? So remember, to call on the name of the Lord to be saved, you must believe. But to believe, you have to hear. And to hear, someone needs to tell you. But for someone to be there to tell them, somebody had to send them. And that's where we come to the church of Lord Jesus Christ. You see, how are they going to call on Him whom they have not believed? Well, they're not. And they're not going to believe on Him if they haven't heard. And they're not going to hear unless someone tells them. But they're not going to be there to tell them unless we as the church send them. In other words, if God doesn't send laborers who will preach the truth so that men and women can believe and call on their name, they can't be saved. Have you ever thought about that? If we miss a generation to send out to the world, there will be millions of people who never hear the name of Jesus Christ and never trust in Him and spend eternity in hell. That responsibility is on us as believers in Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord for Acts chapter 8, where we see that beginning of that going to the uttermost, and it continued for generations upon generations until it got here to us. But we don't stop here. One of the things I'm very thankful we did in the Dominican from day one when we started and planted our church, we began as a church with next to nobody there supporting missionaries. Missions isn't a concept. Supporting missionaries isn't a concept the Americans invented. It comes from the Word of God. We should all be excited about whether it be supporting financially or praying or being willing to go. And just so we're clear, no one ever gets saved by simply considering the stars or contemplating life with inside or getting into a yoga position. Paul very clearly explains to us in verse 17 in this same chapter how someone is saved. Notice in the copy of God's Word, just a few verses ahead. So then faith or salvation cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. We can't be saved without hearing and receiving God's Word. Then what happens to those 4,000 languages that never had one verse translated? We have a problem, don't we? We have a problem. And Paul's explaining, this is the reality. Those cannot be saved until someone goes and tells them. And someone can't go unless we send them. So do we believe this or not? Do we believe that God's Word is the way that someone is to place their faith and trust in Christ by receiving and hearing about? Now, I believe as believers, we understand this. We believe this. Probably some of you grew up your whole life hearing this. It's not that you disagree with this, but so many will do so little to change this. So many of us will not really be moved in our hearts to make one difference in our lives. So what can we do? What can we do that others can know about Jesus Christ? There's so much we can do. Probably the most obvious thing is probably the area we can all do and probably fail the most. Who knows what that is? Prayer. Prayer. In fact, as a reminder, as I'm thinking about it, on the back table I put some new prayer cards. Please pick one up. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your Bible. Put it in the place you go most. For me, it probably is the refrigerator, okay? Put it in a place where you'll see and pray for us as missionaries. It's the one thing we all can do, but we often just don't set aside time to do it. And how should we pray? Now, I've heard this prayer before, and I won't make it fun of anybody, but I've heard this prayer before where someone will be in front of the church and they'll say, Lord, bless the missionaries. Which ones? In which way? You pray for your missionaries specifically. Pray for them by name. Pray for them that the Lord would protect them. Maybe not everyone can go be a missionary, but we all can pray for missionaries. I have a 90-year-old grandfather who is mostly blind, can kind of get around, And I recently, because he lives with my parents, we've been able to spend some more time with him. And but one day when he's long gone, I will one of the images I will have of him, which is what we've seen recently, is as the morning starts, he comes down the stairs and he goes out onto the back porch of my parents on their deck, and he will sit there for almost sometimes up to 2 hours praying for his grandkids and churches he's been involved with over the years and missionaries. Now it takes him a while because he has over 40 grandkids and great grandkids. Okay, so it takes him a while. But I will always have that image. My grandfather, he can't go be a missionary right now. He really can't do a whole lot of things, but he can pray. And he has a great impact. I praise the Lord for that. Pray for your missionaries for their protection. Pray for their good health. It is very difficult to be an effective missionary if you're sick. Recently, my wife had a little back problem. She was on her back. I had to do a lot of cooking and cleaning. That was tough, all right? Pray for your missionaries. Pray that they stay healthy. Pray for them in their language understanding, that they can clearly relay God's word. Oh, I've made so many mistakes in Spanish. One of the funniest ones was early on in our ministry. Pastor, I was preaching about the servant leadership of Jesus Christ and how that time when Christ was in the upper room and he gets on his knees on the basin with a basin and he starts cleaning the feet of the disciples. And remember, I'm a young missionary, still learning Spanish. And the word in Spanish for sandals is sandalias. There's another word that's very close, which is sandillas. And so I'm preaching with much fervency, and I say that Jesus Christ took the sandals off the feet, the sandalias. But I didn't say sandalias. I said sandillas. The word sandilla means watermelon. So I'm saying Jesus is on his knees taking off the watermelons off the feet of the disciples and cleaning their feet. And I see people's faces and they kind of looking at each other like, what is he talking about? That probably happens just about every week, okay? It's not easy to learn another language. Probably from English to Spanish is the easiest. So there are missionaries who have a much more difficult time. Pray for your missionaries because, you know, when we get in the pulpit and we're speaking not our natural language that we've grown up with, we're still talking about the most important thing they'll ever hear. So pray for the missionaries so they can clearly present God's word. And maybe even more difficult sometimes, pray for your missionaries that they learn the culture that they're living in. Sometimes the things in the culture, we still to this day are learning things about our culture, what is proper to have a testimony, a proper testimony where they're at. We as missionaries need your prayers in all these ways. Also be willing to give, not only financially, we should all be willing to give financially, we should all be able to invest in spiritual blessings of the future. But be willing to give of your talents. Not just your treasure, but your talents and your time. We have prayer cards. A wonderful lady designed those. We have a video presentation. A gentleman from our old church helps us every time make that. Those people have those talents and abilities that I don't have, my wife doesn't have, to that extent. I'm thankful that they take time out of their day to allow us to share our burden to others. You have talents and abilities the Lord can use. Be willing to give those above and beyond even your finances. And so very briefly this morning, we've seen the logical need. We understand how vast it is. And we see the reality that really we can't fulfill that need. We can't fulfill the Lord's will if we as churches are not sending forth more laborers. But lastly, as we conclude, we have to see the motivation. Why we do what we do. And Paul clearly lays this out in verse 15 in the second half. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, to be honest, I've never seen a whole lot of beautiful feet in my days, other than my wife, okay? But Paul's not talking about the physicalness of those beautiful feet. He's talking about the message that those beautiful feet bring. He uses a citation from Isaiah 52 in the Old Testament where it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. He's using an example from the Old Testament that's talking about the good news that came from Babylon to Jerusalem, that the captivity was over. And he's using that as an illustration in the New Testament to say, like we were excited in a day of old in Jerusalem when we heard there was no more captivity. We were free. It's that same kind of message that comes to a person who's never trusted in Christ, the freedom they have in Jesus Christ when they place their trust in Him. It's a beautiful set of feet that brings salvation unto them. And I don't have time this morning, I wish I did, to tell you the testimonies of those in the three churches we've been a part of. Those people who were former adulterers or drug dealers or crooked businessmen or in some cases thieves, who their lives were transformed by the power of the gospel. And they would tell you if they were here today, it was a beautiful day when Pastor and his beautiful feet, although they're not that beautiful, came with his family and they told us about Jesus Christ and we placed our trust in Him. It wasn't Pastor that changed us, it was His Word. But you had a part in that. And they would thank you for being a part of those who bring the gospel of peace so that they could be saved. That's what we're talking about today. People in different parts of the world who do not have access like you and I do. They're not blessed like you and I are blessed. And I'll conclude with this. When I was a young man, one of the things, my interest that I loved a lot was space, planets. I wanted to be an astronaut. And I used to learn all I could about NASA. You know, I was thinking about that the other day, and I was thinking, you know, mission control is really the key for an astronaut. An astronaut gets sent out on a mission. Often he's far, far away. And sometimes even by himself. And that's sometimes like us as missionaries. We get sent far, far away and we're by ourselves. But there is no success in the mission without mission control behind them. Mission control directing them, supporting them, helping them along. And a mission control, it's not one or two people. It's literally hundreds and thousands of people behind them, each doing one little job here and there so there can be a successful mission. You know, the church is mission control. You send forth the missionaries to faraway lands, but there cannot be successful missions unless everyone back here is doing their part, praying for the missionary, being willing to give up their not only their finances, but their time and their talents so that we can tell the others about this gospel of peace that brings glad tidings. As you think about this today, be willing to go to do whatever you need to do. Be willing to go for a short time, maybe use your abilities. Maybe you are of the age. It's not possible for you to go, but maybe your kids could be the ones that go, or your grandkids. You know, when I was 23 years old and I surrendered to missions, I remember very vividly when I prayed, it was like I never said no to God. I thought I never said no to God in His call, but I tell you what, I never said yes. And that day, I opened my hands. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do. And very quickly, He directed my steps. Maybe there's someone here today who's doing that same thing in their life. They don't think they've said no to God, but truthfully, they've never really opened their hands and said, Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do. It may be on the other side of the world. It may be right here in this church doing a different ministry. But we need a strong church, like a mission control, helping out, supporting the missionary, so that others can hear about Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this opportunity. I thank You for Your Word and how clear it is that we can simply understand it, Lord, that You put it in our native tongue so we can understand and share it with others. Please, Lord, now through Your Holy Spirit, direct us to know exactly what You have us to do, where You would have us to serve, and how we should serve, Lord. Pray that we have open hearts to Your leading this morning. We ask this in Your name. Amen.